Phil Hogan, the European Union trade chief, says he's looking to have a trade deal in place with the Trump administration and the U.S. by March 18th. Politico says he's working on a package of agreements for the EU leaders to present to Trump in the coming weeks. Among the potential concessions the EU will be willing to make are speeding up the approval process for certain genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, as well as allowing U.S. imports of tallow, which is a form of beef or sheep fat. Why March 18th? That's when higher U.S. retaliatory tariffs on Airbus planes are set to take effect. The Trump administration last week raised duties from 10 to 15%, but suspended implementing the increase. Hogan says the move by Washington, as well as the decision to not raise tariffs on EU farm goods, was seen as a positive sign that the U.S. is ready to make a deal. The U.S. also didn't do anything to increase the 25% duties in place on European food and alcohol products. The University of Illinois' Farm Policy News website says reports are surfacing that China is looking at purchasing some U.S. farm products by early March. The gesture would be intended to show the U.S. that it will meet the commitments outlined in the Phase 1 trade deal. The Chinese government is in discussions over what commodities it would potentially buy at the end of February or into early March. The purchases would show the U.S. that China intends to stick to the trade deal despite the impact of the coronavirus outbreak. Additional reports from Reuters show that China intends to, quote, grant exemptions on retaliatory duties imposed on almost 700 U.S. products, unquote, which would be the most substantial tariff relief to be offered so far. That would be the third round of tariff relief offered by China and comes after the Phase 1 trade deal officially went into effect a week ago on February 14th. China has already been issuing tariff waivers on more of an ad hoc basis for U.S. farm products, including beans. The exemption announcement that came this week includes energy products like crude oil. In news from the USDA, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue announced the Agriculture Innovation Agenda, which is a department-wide initiative to help better position U.S. ag to meet future global demand. The initiative will align resources, programs, and research to help stimulate innovation so that American agriculture can achieve the goal of increasing production by 40% while cutting the environmental footprint of U.S. ag in half by 2050. Quote, we know we have a challenge facing us to meet future food, fiber, fuel, and feed demands with finite resources, unquote, said Perdue. USDA's Agriculture Innovation Agenda is our opportunity to define American agriculture's role to feed everyone and do right as a key player in the solution to this challenge. He calls the new agenda a strategic, department-wide effort to better align USDA's resources, programs, and research to provide farmers with the tools they need to be successful. Quote, we're also continually mindful of the need for America's agriculture industry to be environmentally, socially, and economically sustainable to maintain our position as a leader in the global effort to meet demand, unquote. The first component of the Ag Innovation Agenda is to develop a U.S. Ag Innovation Strategy that aligns and synchronizes public and private sector research. The USDA also is reminding producers interested in the CRP program that the sign-up deadline is next Friday, the 28th. The sign-up is available to farmers and private landowners who are either enrolling for the very first time or re-enrolling for another 10 to 15 years. Farmers and ranchers who enroll in the program get yearly rental payments for voluntarily establishing a long-term resource-conserving plant species such as an approved grass or tree, which can control soil erosion, improve water quality, and develop a wildlife habitat on marginally productive ag land. The CRP program has 22 million acres currently enrolled, but the latest farm bill in 2018 lifted that cap to 27 million acres. The program is marking its 35th anniversary this year with many milestones. It's prevented more than 9 billion tons of soil from eroding, which is enough soil to fill 600 million dump trucks. The program has also sequestered an average of 49 million tons of greenhouse gas, equal to taking 9 million cars off of the road. In the latest national livestock news, Hormel Foods is getting rid of ractopamine, which is a growth hormone drug banned by China, and that is banning it from their hog supply. Hormel is joining rival companies like Tyson Foods and JBS in looking to make more meat sales to China, which is in the middle of wrestling with the largest shortage of pork they've ever seen. Hormel isn't going to accept hogs that have been fed or otherwise exposed to ractopamine after April 1st. Tyson Foods and JBS USA took that step last year. The company's moves ramped up the competition for the increased pork demand from China, where the outbreak of African swine fever has decimated their herd. In a statement announcing the move, Hormel says, quote, "We have been actively monitoring the challenging global market dynamics for several years and believe that this decision will further position us to meet the growing international demand," unquote. Ractopamine is used in some countries to raise leaner pigs, but China doesn't allow it for the use or tolerate residues in imported meat. The European Union also bans ractopamine, which could mean that we could sell more to European Union as well. Moving on into state ag news now here with 6:36 on the clock on your Friday morning. The Illinois Farm Bureau offering reaction to Governor Pritzker's budget address the other day. Kevin Simlow is the organization's director of state legislation.
It was pretty much an expected speech. We know that the revenue is still tight, and the governor pretty much reflected that. His overall speech was optimistic. He wants to look at improving things from where they've been, and his speech reflected that. He took to task some of the former administrations and the way they approached the budget and how they did things, and he wants to change those, according to his statements. Overall, with regard to the Department of Agriculture, it's pretty much a maintenance-level budget of what we saw last year. No major increases. Of course, the biggest increase to the Department of Agriculture is their added responsibility with the cannabis programs, both the recreational use, which is new, and the medical. So they're trying to add staff to keep up with all that paperwork and permitting and regulation of that industry. So that's where probably the biggest area of it is. We're going to see probably some push at the department to see some increased technology. They're trying to keep up with the times and know that things have to shift over to use on the Internet. But overall, no cuts that were proposed. Of course, biggest problem in the budget is pensions. If you look at the general revenue fund, 21% of all general revenue funds go to pay off pensions. And with the pension ramp, that's going to keep going up for a while until they can get the system balanced out, which is going to take several decades. So it's just going to be kind of dig in the trenches and know that that's going to be a lot of money being spent on those things.
The state's fiscal year runs July 1st through June 30th. Moving on now into ag weather, if you have any work to do in the yard like I do, most parts of Illinois will be seeing weekend temperatures in the 50s. That's according to Andy Irvin, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in the Quad Cities.
Really, the warm air pattern is going to begin tonight, even though we'll never feel it. Obviously, we're starting the day off today with some pretty darn cold temperatures. That weather pattern is on the move. Once we hit Friday, we're already talking about highs reaching 40 degrees. And, you know, that's almost 40 degrees warmer than it is in some parts of the area as we speak this morning. So that's already notable. The weather pattern, we're going to get west winds at the surface and aloft. That brings air from the Rocky Mountains downward, literally downward from the sky, and as that air compresses, it heats up. That's called downslope warming, also called the Chinook wind. We're going to get into that type of air, which often affects the plains, but this time it'll come through us as well. And that's going to be over the area Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to get a remarkable three-day stretch of decent weather coming out of this cold. And it does look like highs will reach at least around 50. If we've got the full sunshine, it does look like maybe some low 50s are possible. But even if we only make the upper 40s, I don't think it'll be too much to complain about.
Temperatures will cool down early next week, however, but should stay above normal, with some areas of the state expected to receive a mixture of rain and snow Sunday into Monday. In local ag news now, the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois elected following members to the executive committee at their 127th annual convention and trade show just about a week ago. Kent Sorrells of Sorrells Elevator in Raymond was elected as second vice president of the Grain and Feed Association of the state. In addition to Kent as second vice president, Spencer Jansen from Farmers Grain in Litchfield and Fillmore was appointed as the new South Area Director of the State Grain and Feed Association. The Grain and Feed Association of Illinois is a statewide trade association for the grain and feed industry of the state. Members consist of country and terminal grain elevators, feed dealers, feed manufacturers, grain brokers, truckers, and both corn and soybean processors, as well as companies who provide goods and services to the industry. So congratulations to Kent and Spencer of the local area on their new positions with the Grain and Feed Association. 6:40 here on your Friday morning. Let's take a look at your Ag Community Bulletin Board. It's time to get a head start on the upcoming garden season by starting your seedlings indoors, and the U of I Extension will be hosting a Starting Seeds Indoors workshop to be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office next week. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he'll prevent a variety, as he presents rather a variety of techniques for starting seeds indoors. The program will take place next Wednesday, the 26th, from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon. Cost for the program is only $5 and will include handouts. Pre-registration can be done by visiting their website, extension.illinois.edu/cjmm, or you can call the Extension office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Registration is due by Tuesday, February 25th. 70% of U.S. farmland will likely change hands during the next 20 years, with estimates as high as half of American farmers operating without an estate plan. The Illinois Farm Bureau and Country Financial are set to provide valuable farm legacy seminars to aid them as plans are made for the next coming generation. Two of them will be held at least in somewhat close proximity to the listening area. Next Wednesday, I believe, yes, the 26th, there will be one held at the I Hotel and Conference Center in Champaign, and another one of these seminars will be held on Thursday, the 27th, at the Coco Pelli Golf Club in Marion. These two organizations, the Farm Bureau and Country Financial, will be hosting these farm legacy seminars throughout the end of the month. The seminars will provide current and prospective IFB members and Country Financial clients with the tools, protection, and ongoing support essential to legacy planning in order to allow them to keep their farm in their family amid today's financial challenges. And that'll wrap it up for today's Ag Show. But if you have any more Ag news for us that you'd like to have us air here on WSMI, you can have that emailed to us. The email address is WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. And one last note on this 21st day of February, happy 61st anniversary to my grandparents, Elbo and Bev Grinley of Coffeen. And Randy will get to the rest of the list here in a minute. So for this Friday morning, February 21st, this is Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.